The ministry takes teamwork. We are at a point now in Saul's life when he is a completely changed man. I mean, just to read these words with you just a few moments ago about Paul and thinking about what we read about him just a couple chapters ago. They laid the clothes of they laid the clothes at the feet of one named Saul. Remember? Stephen was gasping for air and dying and saying, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And they laid their coats at the feet of one named Saul, who was wreaking havoc and casting men and women into prison that were believers. And now, by the changing power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, now Paul is preaching the message that he so opposed just a short time ago. What an amazing transformation. We have seen him get saved. We have seen him last week be filled with the Spirit. We read about his baptism. The Bible says in verse 18, that he was baptized as an identification. And baptism, by the way, a little bit of an introduction here. Baptism is the New Testament way to publicly profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it always follows salvation. Paul was saved on the Damascus Road, and then after he was saved, Paul followed the Lord in believer's baptism. I'd like to encourage you today, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, but not been scripturally baptized, now is the time for you to be baptized. You do not need to wait. You do not need to delay. You say, "I don't even understand what it is." Okay, we can take you through the Bible. We can show you all that it pictures and all that it symbolizes. Very quickly, it's a picture of the death when you're standing in the water. It's a picture of the burial of Jesus Christ. And when you're under the water quickly and you come up out of the water, it's a picture of the resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection. It identifies you with someone as someone who already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It does not save you. It is not a means of salvation. It is simply identifying you. As I wear a wedding ring today, identifying me as being married to my wife. I can take this ring off. I'm still married, but I wear it to show my love for her and to be identified to the rest of the world that I am married. When you get baptized, you show your love to the Lord Jesus Christ and lets everyone else know that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are saved. Well, that's what Saul did, who would be later become Paul. And he followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And it's absolutely amazing to me that immediately Paul begins preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't believe immediately Paul began writing the New Testament, but I believe Paul immediately began doing what God wanted him to do. He was always obedient. Isn't that the Christian life? It is step-by-step obedience. It is trust and obey. Trust and obey. Don't miss 3 o'clock. Don't miss 3 o'clock. Trust and obey. And for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And that's what Paul did. He got saved. He got baptized. And then he began to preach in Damascus, preaching the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His message is absolutely amazing. Look at verse 21. Verse 21. We did not read it today. Look at verse 21. "But all that heard him were amazed." You would be too. You would be too if you saw what he was doing before this and you heard what he was doing before this and he was amazed. You know, I'm going to just say this. We've had some people that have come through Anchor Baptist Church that are now missionaries and pastors and things like that. Mainly missionaries, but I don't know. I don't want to say that it's always missionaries, but it seems like it. That some of them say, "Oh, if you only knew me before I got saved." Oh, and some of their testimonies we've heard a little bit about. And God just changed them amazingly. And some evangelists even, like Brother Chauvin, I keep thinking of him. Boy, did we ever miss having him. We were supposed to have him this coming January. Not going to be able to do it, unfortunately. Keep praying for Brother Chauvin. I know this has changed his course of direction in ministry and things like that. But I tell you what, if there's somebody's testimony that I could hear every time they come and preach, and we do normally hear it every time, that's which we want you to keep telling us, Brother Chauvin. It's his testimony, how God saved him and spun him around. I'm not saying he was like Saul, but God spun him around and he became a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ and has been for decades and decades and decades. When they heard Paul preaching, they were amazed. They weren't amazed necessarily at the man. They were amazed at the transformation. And by the way, that's what it is for you and for me. It's not an, it, we're not, we don't amaze anybody. We don't do anything to anybody, but it's the message. It's the transformation that only God could do in your life and mine that is absolutely amazing. Notice it says, and said, is not this he that destroyed them, which called on this name? What name? Jesus Christ. This guy was destroying people in Jerusalem days ago, weeks ago, months ago. Anyone that identified with Jesus Christ, this man was destroying them, doing everything he could. Wreak havoc, as the Bible says. He came hither for that intent. He was on his way to do more damage. On his way here. That's what they're saying. He came hither for that intent. He came here to Damascus to do more damage. And now, because of what happened on the road to Damascus, he's in Damascus preaching the same message that he lived and breathed to destroy prior to this. That he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. Verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. This brings us to our text today, verses 23 to 31. The ministry takes teamwork. Number one, I'd like to point out persecution is a reality. Persecution is a reality. Here is the one who was bringing persecution. God changed his life. God spun him around 180 degrees, and he's going the opposite direction than he was going, and he's preaching the message that he hated, and you better believe it, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how long you've been a child of God, anytime you stand and start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil takes note of that and wants to stop the message of the gospel. Again, I've said this numerous times. We can all talk about God all we want. Nobody really gets upset when you just talk about God. And I'm not belittling the name God. I'm saying that when we start to say that Jesus Christ is God, that's when there's a dividing line. That's when there's a dividing line here. That's why the Jews did not like what he was saying. That's why the Jews were against him. And it is clear that persecution is a reality. Paul's life had been changed, and Paul wanted everyone to know how his life had been changed. You know what? If your life has been changed, you will have the same desire. You don't want to hide it under a bushel, no. You want to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm not going to let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. And Paul got saved, and his life immediately became a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted to shine it everywhere he went. Again, the enemy, though, wasn't very happy about that. The Bible even points that out, that not everyone wanted to know what Paul had to say. Why is persecution a reality? Well, letter A, because of his doctrine. Because of his doctrine. They didn't like the message. They didn't like the truth. And by the way, truth divides. Truth, yes, sets us free, but truth always divides. Doctrine divides. I've heard that said before. The message that Paul preached was not what everyone wanted to hear. It wasn't an ear-tickling message. It was a convicting message. And oh, if there's a day when we don't need ear-tickling messages, it's today. We need to have our soul stirred. We need to have our hearts challenged by the Word of God. Not by a man, but by the Word of God. And that's what Paul was giving. He was giving the truth of the Word of God. The Jews were tired of hearing about this Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ. He's risen. He's living. This Jesus Christ this and Jesus Christ that. Tired of hearing about that. Tired of hearing that he was the Messiah. For you see, today, even today in 2020, the Jew, if you will, is still waiting for the Messiah to come. We know, according to the Bible, the Messiah has already come. Oh, yes, we're waiting for him to come, but we're not waiting for him to come and be crucified. For the next time he comes, there won't be Calvary. The next time he comes, he's coming for me and he's coming for you. And we're going to go back to heaven and go to heaven and be with him. And it's going to be wonderful. For all eternity, we will be with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will see him who spoke the world into existence, defeat the devil once and for all with the very words of his mouth. That's coming, that's coming. Coming soon, amen. Read the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. They didn't like what he was saying. They rejected his teaching. And by the way, not everyone is going to receive the gospel tract. Not everyone is even going to receive possibly the Christmas card tract. Not everyone is going to receive the... Not everyone likes to be told they're a sinner. But it's the truth. It's the Word of God. It's not a Baptist doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says in Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners." The Bible even says that we were the enemy of God. Who wants to be told that? Did you know that you're the enemy of God? Nobody wants to be told that. No, everybody wants to be on God's team because God is all-powerful and God is all-knowing. And yet there are even many in our world today that want to just completely push God out of their life and say that there is no God, and for some reason just appease their conscience, when we know that Romans 1 tells us that there is a God and it is in the heart of every man. Oh, Paul was preaching boldly. If there's any kind of doctrine that people don't want to hear, it's bold given doctrine, right? And they wanted to kill him. Here, the one that was trying to kill Christians is now, he's the hunted. It was because of his doctrine. I would say, letter B, it was also because of his dedication. It was because of his dedication. I like this phrase in your Bible. Again, read the Bible, maybe read it all next year, read the whole thing, but read it carefully, read it meditatively, word, you know, word by word, and thinking over the words that are there. Look at verse number 23. We read it earlier, but let's read the beginning. I'll read it. Just think about these words. "And after that," okay, ready? "Many days." "Many days were fulfilled." Now, we'll read that really quick, and we just move on. And I do that, okay? But now let's read it again. "After that, many days." How many are many days? We have no idea. Now, there is a little bit of an idea, and we're gonna. I think I have that somewhere in my notes. I forgot what's in here, you know. But he does allude to this, I believe, in one of his epistles. Could be that these many days are the 3 years that I'm coming to later. But let's just think about it, though. "After that, many days were fulfilled." In other words, here's what I wrote down. Paul's consistency. This indicates a consistency in Paul's new walk with the Lord Jesus. Many days. He was not a, here's a good one for those of you that English is your second language. He was not a flash in the pan. He was not a firecracker for God. You know what a firecracker does, right? You light that firecracker, it's just a big boom, and then it's done. You don't get many days out of a firecracker. But you know what you get many days out of? A candle. Now, not a Roman candle. Those blow up. I'm talking about those. I'm talking about the ones that smell nice, you know? Make your living room smell nice. Make your kitchen smell nice. And make your office smell nice if you're a candle person. They have those wall plug-ins now. I've been using those lately, less on the candles. Maybe they're better for the environment. I don't know. But candles. I love candles. Always have, always will. Candles just burn and burn and burn and burn. You know what? There's no noise that comes out of a candle, at least not any I've ever had. Except those ones you put on a birthday cake. Those kind of make some sparkly noises. Those candles, you buy the big ones that have a triple wick. They last hour upon hour upon hour upon hour. And you don't get a lot of heat out of them, but they last in many days. When many days, verse 23, when many days were fulfilled, what was he doing? I think he was being discipled. I think he was being taught things of the Word of God. I think he was learning. I mean, he's a new Christian. We look at him as, wow, the greatest missionary ever. Yes, more than likely, yes. I mean, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But everyone needs discipling. Everyone needs to learn the Word of God. Everyone needs to be taught the things of the Word of God. This is what I wrote down. He no doubt was being discipled regarding the truths of the Word of God. Here it is right here. Okay, it is here. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Go over there quickly. Hold your place in Acts 9. Acts 9. And go over to Galatians chapter number 1. Yeah, it's in there. Galatians chapter 1, verse 17. verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. That's the Gentiles. Okay? Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them. He's not in Jerusalem yet. Which were apostles before me. But I went unto Arabia and returned again unto, where? Damascus. I believe this is what we're talking about right here in Acts 9. Look at verse 18. Then after, how much time? 3 years. 3 years. Again, Paul, wow, what a missionary. Yeah, but Paul had to go through some training. Paul had to go through Faith Bible Institute. Faith Bible Institute is 3 years long. So this is the first Faith Bible Institute, all right? And he went up to Jerusalem after 3 years to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Okay, let's just mark that down. So his dedication. Paul was not simply a firecracker for God. He was not a flash in the pan. His opposition realized that he was not going to be silent. Over and over and over, time had gone by, years had gone by, much reading and study and discipleship had gone by, and Paul is being equipped. And the Bible says in verse 22, he confounded the Jews, proving that he is the very Christ, and after many days were fulfilled, going out preaching, going out witnessing, going out discipling, going out doing all that God had for him to do, many days, day after day after day, they took counsel to kill him. All right, that's it. We've had enough of this guy. Why? He was dedicated. He was dedicated. He was preaching the right doctrine, and he was dedicated. We need to be dedicated in our walk with God. We need to be dedicated in the things of God. Turn over quickly to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. There's a word here that sometimes is used with potatoes, but it has nothing to do with potatoes in 2 Timothy. Just seeing if you're awake out there, all right? Been eating a lot of turkey this week, maybe, so maybe the effects of whatever's in that turkey haven't worn off yet, all right? Trying to wear them off. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. This word normally sometimes goes with potatoes. They're not real, though, okay? Let's just get that right out right now. Let's preach the doctrine of God right now. There's no such thing as it, but sometimes it goes with them, all right? Look what Paul said here to Timothy. This is Timothy learning from his father in the faith, if you will. Paul, preach the word. Preach the word. Verse 2. Be, what's the next word? Instant. Instant potatoes. Boo-hoo-hoo on those, all right? And be instant in season. You know what the word instant means? It means ready. That's why they gave it to the potatoes, because they're ready with some hot water. If that's what you make, ma'am, I'm not being unkind to you, okay? I'm just saying what my stomach thinks, all right? Be ready. Be ready. Be instant in season. Be instant out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Be instant, be ready. It does not matter the season of life. I need to be instant. I need to be ready. It doesn't matter the season of life. You need to be instant. You need to be ready. It doesn't matter if it's COVID-19. You need to be instant. You need to be ready. It doesn't matter if it's worse than that. You need to be instant and you need to be ready to do what? Preach the word. This is not for a pastor. This is for believers like you and believers like me. We need to be instant. We need to be ready at all times to preach the word. We need to be dedicated to the gospel. Paul was under persecution because of his doctrine and because of his dedication. Dedication does not mean that everybody's just going to accept you and accept me and accept our doctrine. But we are not trying to please man. We are trying to please number one, persecution is a reality. Number two, disciples to the rescue. Disciples to the rescue. Now let's think about this. Paul was a prominent man before he got saved. Prominent man. He's an educated man. Important man. I think probably when he walked through any place he ever walked through, everybody knew who it was. This is Saul of Tarsus. Now let's see what happens in verse 25. Then, so they wanted to kill him. They've been watching the gates. Look at verse 24. And they watched the gates day and night, day and night. The gates of Damascus. Is he leaving? We're watching for him. We're watching for him. We're watching for him. Disciples to the rescue. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. I mean, think of this. This is Saul of Tarsus. This is someone who's been educated. This is someone that is articulate in his speaking. The Bible says that he confounded the Jews with his speech in verse 22. He's bold, he's determined, and now he's in a basket. Sitting down in a basket, being lowered down over the wall. I think there's a lot of applications you could make even with regards to that. I would have loved to have seen this, wouldn't you? Too bad this wasn't recorded in some way. Well, it's recorded in the Word of God, so guess what? It's called imagination. You need to imagine what it must have been like. You don't need to see it on YouTube. You don't need to see it on Vimeo. Thank God we have this available today for us. But just imagine, Paul's in a basket. The disciples are carefully lowering him down. Disciples to the rescue. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 32. 11:32. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. He's writing about what we're reading right now. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Disciples to the rescue. His ministry was beginning and would continue this way. Persecution. This illustrates the powerful contrast between Saul of Tarsus and Paul the Apostle. Saul of Tarsus traveled to Damascus full of man's power, full of man's authority on his way to Damascus, with the authority to kill Christians, put them in jail, whatever. This was all against God's people. Paul the Apostle left Damascus humbly, in a basket, but with the power of God. That's the difference, you see, in your life and mine as well. We can have all of what man has to offer. We can have a position, we can have money, we can have authority without Christ, but that means nothing for eternity. But when we come to Christ humbly, he not only gives us richly all things to enjoy, he indwells us with the Spirit of God, and we are changed from the inside out. We have the power of God that we can preach the message of the gospel. We can be connected to the vine, and we can have the physical and spiritual strength we need. What a contrast in the Apostle Paul's life. You see, now he's got a different task is to preach the gospel. What a contrast. You know, I was thinking about baskets, right? Must have been a pretty good sized basket to get an adult man inside of. Maybe he would just kind of get down into the fetal position a little bit there. Excuse me. I was thinking about baskets that we can use to help the pastor. Baskets that we can use to help the staff of the church, baskets that we can use to help the entire family of God. I'd like to give you three baskets. Could I give you those quickly? Number one is the basket of prayer. The basket of prayer. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. You see, these disciples were rescuing Paul. Do you know that you can help rescue someone with your prayer? You can rescue someone. You can lower someone down in a wall of opposition through prayer. Oh, no, I'm not talking about literally, physically. I'm talking about spiritual battle here. Prayer, supplication. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And I've got to get there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. Look at this. It's just a simple statement by Paul. Brethren, pray for us. Thessalonica, church at Thessalonica, pray for us. Dear Christians in Burnaby, pray for us. Dear Christians, wherever you are today, and I'm saying this on behalf of the family of God, let's pray for one of not. Let's pray for one another. I need your prayer. Pastor Nathan needs your prayer. We all need your prayer. You need my prayer. The basket of prayer. I cannot overemphasize the need that we have. No matter what year it is, to be involved in the basket of prayer. You can help rescue someone by taking their name to the throne of God. You can help rescue someone from the hands of the devil by bringing their name to the throne of God, seeking their salvation. You have a teenage son today that's not saved. You have a teenage daughter that's not saved. You have a family member that's not saved. Keep bringing their name before the Lord. Put them in the basket of prayer and take their name to the Lord each and every day. The basket of prayer. Number two, the basket of praise. The basket of praise. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The Lord give mercy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. Oh, wow. Look at that statement. He oft refreshed me. This is Paul. Onesiphorus was someone who refreshed him. He was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently. Notice, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered, here it is, unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. The basket of praise. The word refresh here, the word refresh in verse 16, refreshed, means to make cool or relax. Can I encourage you today? Can I encourage you today in your home, first and foremost, can I encourage you to be someone who is known for being a member that is part of the basket of praise? Do you know what? We give all kinds, and we need to correct and all that. You know what? Paul said here, here's someone who refreshed me. Here's someone who words of praise came out of his mouth. And if you have young children in your home, or if you have old children in your home, like we do. Do we have old children? I don't know. Anyway, if you have older children in your home, you know what they need to hear? They need to hear praise. Not for when they do wrong. I'm not talking about that. But they need to hear praise. Paul said, his words refreshed me. Your wife needs to hear praise, sir. Your husband needs to hear praise, ma'am. The family of God. I'm not saying we praise us ourselves like we do the Lord. No, but we encourage one another. Notice what he said here. He ministered unto me. Paul said, Onesiphorus encouraged me. That's what I'm saying, really. I'm not saying necessarily to, praise and bow down. No, we all need encouragement from time to time. The basket of praise. These are baskets that can be a rescue to someone that's going through a difficult time. Basket of prayer. Who's God laying on your heart right now to pray for? The basket of praise. Who's God laying on your heart to encourage? The basket number 3 of participation. 1 Corinthians 3. Basket of participation. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. Disciples to the rescue. Hey, there's probably some people at Anchor Baptist Church that could use your prayers. They could use your praise. I can't tell you what came over me when I heard that Todd was in heaven. I mean, I was thankful that he was in heaven. But I just can't describe it. It's of the Lord, and it happened in God's will. You know, as an under shepherd, that I would have loved to have helped Randy. Here's Randy, who's got so many physical issues, and you just have to move on and learn from it. I don't feel bad in the sense that I didn't try, but I think I could have tried more somehow. Basket of prayer, basket of praise. And here it is. This is what I'm talking about. God convicted me, the basket of participation. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, 9. For we are laborers together with God. Amen? We're not laboring alone. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God's pattern is for every member to be actively involved in the work of the ministry. God's pattern is for everyone to be a part of the basket of participation. In what way are you participating? In what way do I need to participate more? Do you need to participate more? This is all part of the rescue theme, all right? The rescue theme. The rescue heroes, okay? The rescue disciples, okay? Pray, praise, participate, get involved, be a part of this. It doesn't take a lot of effort. Can you imagine? And I don't think it was one disciple lowering. How heavy was Paul? Who knows? Let's say he was 175. I don't think one disciple was probably lowering Paul down over. I would say there was a group that were working together and they were lowering him down as he would go out into the service of the Lord. And think about this today. Somebody needs your rescue. They're dying. And I'm not talking about physical. They're dying on the inside. God has enabled you and enabled me to be a rescue warrior, disciple in prayer and praise and participation. What is God teaching you? The basket in our text was a lifesaver to the Apostle Paul. We can be used of the Lord today to save someone's day, to save someone's week, and possibly someone's life. I cannot tell you over this last year, numerous times, someone, and I'm nobody, I'm just the sinner saved by grace, but numerous times, someone has sent a text message to me. Very simple. And it came right at the right time. Oh, you shouldn't need that, pastor, to stay encouraged. Well, sorry, I'm just telling you what I needed. I needed it at that time. It came just at the right time. I'm not asking for you to text me. I'm just telling you. When God lays somebody on your heart, it wasn't the devil. It was God. Okay? If you start thinking about someone in the church, reach out to them. Reach out to them. Don't take that impulse from the Holy Spirit of God as being a fluke thing. It's a basket opportunity. A basket for you to help someone. Pray for them. Praise them. And participate in the work of the Lord. Persecution is a reality. Disciples to the rescue. Lastly, number three, Paul's return to Jerusalem. Paul's return to Jerusalem. Wow, can you imagine this? When he left there, when he left Jerusalem, he was headed to hell. He's coming back preaching hellfire. He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verses 26 to 31, we see that. Now, unfortunately, though, not everyone in Jerusalem got the memo that Saul was different. You see that? Let's go back to our text. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. He went to join himself. He wanted to join himself with the church at Jerusalem. Now remember, this church was booming prior to Stephen's death, and that they were scattered abroad and all of that, and then Philip and all those journeys that we've been on. We won't go back through all that. But. So the church is moving forward still, and you know, he wants to be a part of it all. He wants to get involved in it. It says, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, you know, we could easily look at that and say, let's go, get with it. But remember, you know, they didn't have Twitter to learn about Paul's conversion. Okay, I'm being tongue-in-cheek about that. They didn't get all the memos. Word didn't travel maybe as fast. Well, definitely didn't travel as fast. Here comes Saul back to Jerusalem. He's wanting to be a part of their group. Maybe he's doing this because he's hunting more Christians. Maybe he is trying to act like a Christian to find more Christians. We don't know what's going through their mind, but I for one would have also had a reasonable level of fear. Could this be a stunt? Could this be an act by the Apostle Paul to arrest more Christians? I love the first two words of verse 27. But Barnabas. He speaks up on Paul's behalf. Go back to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 36. Acts 4:36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. And many of you already know this, but it's a good reminder. Which is being interpreted the son of consolation. This is Barnabas, as we go now back to Acts 9:27. But Barnabas took him. Barnabas, son of consolation. Consolation, encouragement. Much like what we were talking about even earlier with the idea of praise, but emphasizing it a bit more. We could say Barnabas was Mr. Encourager. Barnabas said to them in verse 27, this is real. Verse 27, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. Paul had seen the Lord in the way. How he had spoken to him. How he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming and going out of Jerusalem. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. And again, the preaching brings the persecution back to the Apostle Paul. Paul's purpose in going back to Jerusalem was to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everyone was ready to receive him. Not everyone believed that Paul is now on their team, if you will. Paul had someone willing to come along beside him and speak for him. And be a representative of him. In other words, as it says, the son of consolation, he was an encourager. The purpose, though, of Paul going back to Jerusalem was to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This should always be the purpose of every Bible-preaching church and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the beginning of verse 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Grecians went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down. They had to leave Jerusalem. Again, because of his doctrine, because of his determination. What happened? When the brethren knew, disciples to the rescue. It's a pattern, isn't it? It would be a pattern all throughout Paul's ministry. Boldly proclaiming. There was such conviction by the Grecians that they wanted to kill him. Paul was not wanted in Damascus. Paul was not wanted in Jerusalem. Oh, let's just say it a little differently. The message of Paul was not wanted in Damascus. The message of Paul was not wanted in Jerusalem. Do you know, on the majority, the message of the Bible is still not wanted. It's still not wanted. It's not wanted in countries, and we can start naming some countries where it is wholeheartedly not wanted. One of our missionaries of the week is in one of those countries. You know what? The message of the gospel, it's not wanted. The message of the gospel in this country, in that country, but it is not our job, it is not your job, it is not our responsibility to cause the message of the gospel to be wanted. It is our job, under the power of the Spirit of God, to proclaim boldly the message of God. Not everyone's going to receive it. Not everyone's going to accept it. This is why we as the family of God, we need to be unified. We need to be together because we need to be the Barnabas for someone possibly. We need to be that voice of praise. We need to be that basket of praise and prayer and participation and all of that. All of this is because of the whole. And what is the whole? That the gospel message would continue to go forward. 2020, we have the never-changing message right here. It hasn't changed. What Paul was preaching is what we're preaching today. What Paul was giving in Damascus and Jerusalem and other places and all the missionary journeys that we would take, it's the gospel message that we're giving today. I love what it says there at the end of our verse, in verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. That means they were built up. Hey, we need to build people up with the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about believers. This is talking about the church now. This is talking about Christians. You see, the lost wanted to kill him. But when the message was given, what did it do to the believers? It edified them. It equipped them. It built them up. This is why we need to continue to preach, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. I need to be edified. You need to be edified. We need to be challenged. We need to be equipped. We need to grow in grace. They were edified, and notice, and walking in the fear of the Lord. Why? Because the message was being preached. They were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You sing that song, Andy walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. That's really the Holy Spirit. He's with us every step of the way. He was with Paul. He's with us today. And the end result, we're multiplied. Again, God doesn't go by addition. God works by multiplication. It comes back, though, to the goal, and the purpose was to preach the message of the gospel. Persecution, it's a reality. It's going to come. We need to be willing to help rescue one another in whatever basket God calls us to. And then we need to realize that wherever we go, whether it's Burnaby or beyond, the purpose is to take the gospel message for souls that are lost to be saved, for souls that are saved to be edified, to be strengthened in their walk with